getting rid of the black-white dynamic. This goes to the NFL players, goes to different views, black and white in America. We've had these issues for a long time. And Michael was saying to me, well, you know, I go, half the murders are committed by black people, and they're only 12 to 13% of the population, so that's disproportionate. And they'll say, yeah, well, I got a brother in prison for murder, and, you know, his father was in prison, juvenile jails his whole life, and that. And it goes back to, you can't do any, you're in trouble getting a job, so you then turn to the streets. And we've seen this, and they call for more training and more education and more mentoring and more funding and all this, and I understand that. But let's face it, let's get into brass tacks. Now, the Mosier family, I think it was Jim was the judge, and Dan, I think, was the brother who was the juvenile court administrator for a long time in Dane County. And I would talk to him, and maybe it was Jim. Dan's the judge, okay. And he would say to me, dealing with juveniles, he said, you know, every kid needs one significant adult. If you don't have one significant adult in your life, you've got no chance. And we have too many kids out there, black, white, you name it, that don't have that one really hardcore, significant, caring advocate adult. Maybe they're living with who knows what, but there isn't that one person. And that's not, the kid is then in big trouble. I talked to this police officer down in Beloit who had a program called GREAT. It was a charity he did where he would have these kids, predominantly African-American kids, males, come with him on weekends and they'd go bowling. And he said he had to show kids how to shave because the kid is 15. He's never had a man in his house. He had to teach him how to shave. Great guy. I'll never forget this guy, but I can't think of the cop's name. But you got to role models in. Michael said, well, look, you've had a chance to work and you've had support and you've got income and you can do videos and you can do shows. And I go, yeah. Well, he said, what his point was is these other individuals he's talking about don't have that. And you at home, well, why can't you have a stronger family? Well, good point. But maybe the kid comes from a dysfunctional family. It's a tough call, but you have to start with education, and you have to hold people accountable to the extent you can. If you're a father, for instance, if you're in jail because you sold drugs because you couldn't get a job at IBM and you decided to sell drugs, that's no excuse because the kid needs you. I mean, if you're on public assistance, or if you're working at McDonald's on public assistance, or whatever the case, I know it's easy for me to say. I understand that, but there's nothing more important than taking care of that kid. If you have a child, you are responsible for that child. I mean, that is it. The child's number one. I understand that. Now, I realize, you know, generations past, kids were seen and not heard, and parents would go to the lodge and play cards and whatever the case. And we have smothering parents and helicopter parents. I know this. I came to town 25 years ago, and I've never seen – I saw parents at the sports tryouts watching. When I was a kid, parents weren't at the practices. We didn't want parents at practice. We sure as hell didn't want parents at the tryout. First of all, they wouldn't allow it. But now they sit there at the tryouts. Parents are everywhere. So we have smothering parents, and then we have no parents. So we have, you know. But what I'm saying is there's nothing more important than be a parent to that kid. So I don't buy it when you say, well, he can make $40,000 a year selling dope. What else is he going to do? You know what? You take care of the kid. You stay out of jail because you got to take care of that kid. Even if you're on public assistance, take care of the kid. Work at Walmart as a cashier and get public assistance. You can get all kinds of public assistance working at Walmart's cashier. I'm not saying that's easy, but I'm saying for you to just abandon that kid, put the kid at risk by having you sell drugs and go to jail is not good. Your job is to take care of the kid. I'm sorry. Now, has everybody grown up in a rich home? No. Does everybody have privilege? No. You know, you try and do your best in terms of making educational opportunities there and having a school that's supportive and helpful and has counselors or whatever you want to do. And you have tutors and you have all the stuff you can afford to provide. One of the reasons why there's a push toward choice in schools is because public schools don't always function well. If you've got heavy crime and concentrations of poverty and you have gang problems and violence, parents want the kids out of that school. That's what happens. That's what drove Polly Williams back in the day. African-American Democratic woman. She was fighting for choice because she thought she needed those kids out of there. And she wanted parents to have a choice because the schools they were going to were no good. And she thought, why can Bill Clinton send his daughter to some rich private school and the poor woman in the city can't? And that's what drove the whole thing. You could probably address it by making the public schools much better, accountable, safer, and you get better results. And you can use all the tools you have. You know, my sister, who teaches school every day, my hometown high school, she says, if you have a good principal, you have a chance. If you have a bad principal, you're screwed. And we have a lot of bad principals. Principals are like head coaches. You can fire principals. It's harder to fire a bad teacher because you've got all the different hoops you got to jump through to fire a bad teacher because the union protections, and that's fine. But you can sure as hell fire the bad principals. But there are all kinds of problems. But you start, and I understand things aren't equal and things are tough and things are unfair and oppressive at times, but you don't say, if you're the father or the mother, that you are going to risk going to jail to get money, and if you get caught, it's too bad. The kid has no parent. That's not good. That's bad. So we have to have, I think, a path to empowerment, economic empowerment, self-sufficiency, whatever you want to say. There's got to be a path. Now, when we did welfare reform in Wisconsin, there was a fight to have more schools of technical college be counted as work under the work requirement. But they narrowed it down to like 8 hours. And they said, well, why should we pay for your education? Well, we paid for people's daycare and we paid for medical assistance. And so they could go work as a receptionist or go work at McDonald's. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be better if we paid for technical college if they want to go to school? Then they could graduate and not need our money. But that was a big fight. Tommy Thompson actually wanted to give more hours of tech school as part of the work requirement, but the Assembly Republicans at the time, John Gardner's buddy, said no. And that's, you know, you can argue about that. They believed in the role modeling of going to work. We'll pay for your daycare, pay for your health care. Some kids will pay for transportation, but we want you to work. Even if you make $8 an hour, we want you to work so the kid can see you going to work. That's what they were saying. Role modeling. That was the conservative position on welfare reform, and that I agree with that to an extent, but I also think if you can send the person to vocational school and the person can emerge as a skilled worker, whether it's a dental hygienist or a surgical technician or something else, a plumber or a welder or an electrical utility technician, I think that's better. Then the kid can pay back. If we do subsidize it, you can pay it back down the road, whatever the case may be. But my point is, if you don't have skills, you don't have an education, you're not going to make it. This idea that we can pay all our McDonald's workers $15 an hour is not going to happen. It's a total myth. By the way, Glenn Grothman was supposed to call us. He was at a dinner. You know, they said, oh, yeah, he'll be available at 6:30. You can do 18 minutes. Now, next time you go to a dinner, get out of it. Now, Glenn Grothman is the conservative Republican. He would say, you know, stay home, have two parents, go to church, be good, drink milk. And I understand that. But sometimes you got to deal with the world as it is. But my conservative side says, you got a kid, take care of the kid, don't risk going to jail. Yeah, but Mitch, there's no money. Well, you know, you can do something, get some assistance. We should be having a safety net or at least a system of social support in this country where you have a fighting chance at least to be warm and eat. And if we don't have that, then we should change it and get that. It's hard for most Americans to think that we can't at least rely on a safety net. There's supposed to be a safety net. And some people abuse the safety net. I understand that, but it's a very small percentage. I understand all that. What liberals will say when talking about the urban underclass and the fact that the poverty rate hasn't changed since the Great Society 50-some years ago is that the factory closed 20 years ago. Well, the conservative will say because there's no family, there's no parent, there's no God, there's no father. You know, that we know the arguments. But just because you're divorced or separated, it doesn't mean you can't help take care of the kids. Just because you don't share a common dwelling doesn't mean you can't have a common effort. A lot of married parents aren't in the same room anyway. The parents are in different rooms watching different shows. He's watching the ball game. She might be upstairs watching House of Cards. I mean, this living in the same roof thing is, you know, not necessary to take care of the kids. You can help out. But that's the end of my point. You can weigh in, by the way, on this, 210-1667, 608 area code, 210-1667. I will say this. Daniel Patrick Moynihan, a liberal Democrat from New York State, wrote an essay in 1965, saying that the absence of the black father was going to spell heavy negatives for the black family. He wrote this in 65. There were some trends building in the way the whole welfare system was being devised at the time. As women were encouraged to be independent and move away from abusive husbands, concurrent with that trend, you had fathers who just weren't around and fathers who just took off. And Moynihan wrote 52 years ago an essay that offended a lot of liberals because he said the black family is going to be hurt by fathers who are gone and fathers who don't participate in raising the kid. And that was Moynihan. Pete Hamill wrote an essay in 1995, said a letter to a black friend, and Pete Hamill's a white liberal from New York, writer. And he said if you compared socioeconomic numbers from 1965 to 1995, there were a lot of things that were worse in 1995 than 65, with broken families in the inner city, black families, fathers gone, high school dropout rates, and so forth, that were worse in 95 than 65. In 65, we still had Jim Crow in some places. We still had legal segregation in some places. So you couldn't blame the social government conditions or economic conditions in 1995 as the reason things were worse than in 1965, when things were worse in a lot of ways. So that's what I'm saying. You know, you got to take responsibility as the parent, or the kid has no chance. The guy I told you about that had the weekend program when people were, he had to teach kids how to shave and taught kids how to bowl and all this stuff, where there was no man in their house and they're 16 years old and they never had a man in their house. And he said he would talk to a mother in the neighborhood and he'd say, "Well, where's James?" "Oh, he's with his friend." "What's his friend's name?" "Well, his friend's name is Lonnie." "Lonnie what?" "Lonnie Johnson." "Oh, did you know Lonnie Johnson had been arrested 8 times? And the mother would say, "No, I didn't know that." And the cop would say, "Well, yeah, he has. It's not a good guy for your son to be hanging around." And yet, you know, mentor programs work. Bootstrap type programs work. After school programs can work if somebody takes care of, is in the neighborhood advocating, like my friend who did that weekend thing, charity-wise.